Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk to you about Pakistan, give you an update on the latest situation with regards to the crisis that is now unfolding there on a rapid basis. And the reason I want to give you this update is that Pakistan is the fifth largest country in the world, with a population of around 225 million. So, quick question for you. Can you name the top four countries in the world by population? I'll tell you what they are. The biggest country in the world is China. I think everybody knows that. They've got more than 1.4 billion people. Closely followed by India, that has just under 1.4 billion. Number three is the USA, with around 330 million. But can you name number four? It's Indonesia, which has around 275 million people. And I know I have a lot of viewers in Indonesia, so hello to everybody in Indonesia. But anyway, back to Pakistan. If you've been following the channel, you know I've posted a number of videos on Pakistan in 2022. As a result of the economic crisis in the country, there was a change of government. The former Prime Minister Imran Khan was removed after a vote of no confidence. But the problems have never really been sorted out. And the situation was made significantly worse in August, when there were significant floods in the country, the worst that have been seen in the last 30 years as a result of the monsoon rains. And the country is now on the brink of collapse. So in today's video, I'll give you a quick recap on Pakistan. We'll have a look at what's going on in the economy, what's happening with regards to things like inflation, currency reserves, the amount of debt that the country has built up. We'll then have a quick look at the devastating impact that the floods have had on the country, and then talk about the ongoing debt discussions that they've got with the IMF, China, and Saudi Arabia. And I'll tell you exactly how long Pakistan has before it runs out of cash and no longer is able to buy all of the oil and LNG that it needs to keep the country running. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen for Pakistan over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the impact of this will be on the global economy. But before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I do really appreciate it. Pakistan is located in South Asia and was created in 1947 following the breakup of the British Empire. The country has borders with Iran, Afghanistan, China, and India, and has a coastline on the Arabian Sea. Pakistan is the 33rd largest country in the world by landmass, but the fifth largest by population. And the population of around 225 million people has been growing rapidly over the last 20 years. Pakistan does have some natural resources, including oil and other natural minerals. However, it doesn't have enough to be able to feed its own demand and is a net importer of oil. The country is classified as developing and is a low labour cost economy, with the main industry being textiles. The land in Pakistan is rich and fertile, and 37% of all of the population are employed in agriculture. And agriculture equates to around about 20% of GDP. Pakistan exports a variety of food substances, including sugarcane, cotton, and rice, but imports wheat, vegetable oil, and consumer foods. So Pakistan is a net importer, and one of the problems that the economy has is all of the things that it's importing are very expensive, such as oil, liquefied natural gas, wheat, and other food substances. And the things that it's exporting are inexpensive because Pakistan is a low labour economy, and therefore it's producing things using lots of people like textiles and clothing and exporting them all around the world. And the profit margin on that sort of business is very small. So as a result of this dynamic, Pakistan has been running a negative balance of trade for a long period of time. This chart shows the balance of trade, which is essentially the difference between the value of all of the exports that you're selling to the rest of the world, so all of the money that you're earning, and the cost of all of the imports that you're paying for. So basically, the difference between what they're spending and what they're earning. And as you can see from this chart, the balance of trade for Pakistan has been negative for almost 20 years. which obviously represents a major problem because if you're constantly spending more than you're earning, then that is obviously an unsustainable model and you need aid and support from other countries. But if you look at what's happened over the course of the last 12 months, you can see that the situation has got significantly worse. And of course, that corresponds with the huge increase that we've seen in oil prices, liquefied natural gas prices, and commodity prices such as wheat that Pakistan is importing as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as a net importer that is entirely dependent on all of these items, Pakistan had no choice but to continue buying in the international markets and running down its reserves even further than normal. And the pressure on Pakistan was actually made even worse by a devaluation of the Pakistan rupee over the last 12 months. This chart plots the value against the US dollar. And you can see that this time last year, one US dollar equated to around 175 Pakistan rupees. However, today, $1 is worth around 227 Pakistan rupees. So that represents a fall in value of around 30%. And as most of the commodities that Pakistan is buying in the international market, such as oil and liquefied gas, are priced in US dollars, that's added another 30% cost increase. So this really was a double whammy from Pakistan's point of view. Most prices rose by around 50% following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But when your currency is also falling by 30%, that means that the net price to Pakistan was rising by closer to 100%. And this chart shows Pakistan's foreign currency reserves over the course of the last 12 months. And you can see that there has been a dramatic reduction as a result of having to pay higher amounts for all of the imported goods, with the total amount of reserves falling from around $24 billion to less than $14 billion at the end of November. However, the figures have just been released for December, which show that at the year end, the reserves are now down to less than $4.5 billion. And this means that Pakistan only have around 25 days worth of cash to continue buying all of the essential imports to keep the country running. This chart shows the official rate of inflation in Pakistan over the last 12 months. And you can see that this time last year, inflation was running at 13%, which is a materially high level anyway. However, through the course of the last 6 months, there has been a marked increase, and inflation today is now running at 24.5%. And this rate of inflation means that Pakistan now has the 21st highest rate of inflation out of any country in the world. So it's not the same level that we're seeing in places like Venezuela, the Lebanon, Turkey, Sri Lanka, and Iran, but it is seriously high and is unsustainable. And if we look at what's going on with regards to food inflation, which is absolutely critical for a developing country such as Pakistan, food inflation is indiscriminate. Everybody needs to buy food, and the poorest people are most affected by increases in food prices because they're spending a large percentage of their income on food. It can be as high as 90% of all of their money goes on food. And if you look at what's gone on with food inflation, it's followed a similar trend to general inflation. So this time last year, food inflation was running at around 13%, so in line with overall inflation. In the last 6 months, we have seen a significant increase, and it is currently now at 35.5%. So that means that the price of food is rising at a faster rate than prices generally, which is therefore increasing the cost of living and reducing the standard of living. And of course, for the poorest people in society, when prices go up at these sort of rates, it means generally that they will be able to buy less food because they don't have any savings. So as a result of being a net importer and running a negative balance of trade for the last 20 years, Pakistan has built up an enormous amount of debt and is now struggling to be able to make the repayments on that debt and is on the verge of defaulting. And the latest statistics released by the central bank show that Pakistan's total debt and liabilities are now up to 62.5 trillion Pakistani rupees, which equates to around $275 billion. And to put that into perspective, the gross domestic product for Pakistan in 2021 was $348 billion. So the current level of debt equates to around 80% of GDP. And it's estimated that the cash requirement through to the 30th of June 2023 to pay for all of the imported oil, liquefied natural gas, food products, and also to service Pakistan's debt equates to around $30 billion. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Pakistan only has about $5 billion currently in its foreign reserves, so it has nowhere near enough to be able to settle all of those payments. So it's now in emergency discussions to try to raise more debt. Now, Pakistan is a member of the IMF and has a number of loans outstanding already. This summary taken from the IMF website shows that Pakistan joined the IMF in July 1950. And over the last 72 years, has taken 23 loans and currently owes the IMF $5.7 billion. Now, as I reported previously, in late 2022, the IMF was preparing a $1.1 billion bailout loan for Pakistan. However, that loan has never been drawn down because the terms of an IMF deal require that a country has to make certain changes to try to change what's going on in the economy and improve its situation. So the IMF had issued a number of conditions, including the reduced use of electricity, the reduced purchase of various energy products, and various other taxes that were going to try and raise some more money to make Pakistan more self-sustainable. However, the government of Pakistan haven't introduced these measures and therefore haven't met the terms of the IMF deal and haven't been able to get hold of the cash. And one of the reasons that the government blamed for not introducing these measures were the devastating floods that took place in Pakistan in August and September 2022. The monsoon rains that struck Pakistan in August 2022 were some of the worst in living memory. In 2010, Pakistan was ravaged by floods, which killed more than 1,700 people and affected more than 20 million. However, this graphic shows that the areas affected in 2022 were significantly greater. And it's estimated that at least 33 million people were affected. It's estimated that more than 1,700 people died. Over 15,000 people were injured, around 10,000 miles of roads were damaged, over 400 bridges were destroyed, around 2 million houses were made uninhabitable, over 1.2 million cattle died, 2 million acres of agricultural land was thrown underwater, over 45% of Pakistan's cotton crop, which is essential to its manufacturing industry and therefore to its exports and the economy, was damaged. And around 30% of all of rice production was also destroyed. So the floods had a devastating impact on virtually all of Pakistan. Infrastructure was destroyed. People were displaced. They had to move away from where they lived. People's livelihoods were destroyed. A lot of the community in Pakistan is dependent on farming, both subsistence farming, so growing food to eat, to actually put on the table for your family, and also to make some money. A lot of those crops were wiped out. A lot of the cattle were killed, and also a lot of the cotton was destroyed. So this came at a really bad time for Pakistan. It was already on its knees. It was struggling. And these floods have dealt a devastating blow to a lot of people. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been talking about Pakistan last year and I wanted to give you a current update. And right now, Pakistan is coming into sharp focus because it's on the verge of defaulting on its international debt. And that's quite an unusual thing for any country to do. There's only been a relatively small number of countries that have defaulted on debt. Because once you default on your debt, you're seen as being uncreditworthy going forward. So it's usually a last resort for a country. You don't want to do it because in the future, it becomes more difficult to be able to get deals done to get some more money in. And as we've saw from the statistics that we looked at earlier in the video, Pakistan has been needing debt and cash injections over the course of the last 20 years. It's running a negative balance of trade. It doesn't produce enough exports. It doesn't produce enough revenue to be able to pay for all of its imports. And one of the reasons for that is that Pakistan just doesn't have enough natural resources. The country is relatively small compared to the population, and therefore it's spending more than it's earning. So this situation is something that's been building over a long period of time. But Russia's invasion of Ukraine has really tipped the country over the edge. The huge spike that we saw in oil, gas and other commodity prices during the course of 2022 really drained all of Pakistan's reserves and have left them on their knees. And because the country has such a large amount of debt that it needs to service on an ongoing basis, that's also adding more pressure to the cash reserves. So what is Pakistan going to do? How's it going to get itself out of this situation? Because if it does default on its debt and it can't get any more money in, what's it going to do? Because all of those 225 million people still live in Pakistan. They still need to have electricity and oil and all the other essential items. Who's going to pay for it? Well, the answer to that question is that Pakistan needs help. It needs some aid. It's talking to the IMF right now, but those discussions have been going on for a long period of time. And the problem that Pakistan has is that it's having difficulty meeting all of the IMF's demands, because by introducing all of these different measures, increasing taxes and changing the way electricity is used, it will cause further damage to the economy. Because if you can't keep your factories open as long, then that means that they'll produce less, therefore they will earn less revenue when they sell their products, and so the GDP will fall further. And the same goes for the individuals in Pakistan. If you're taxing them more, you're taking more money away from them. At the same time, as food is rising by 35% and everything else is going up by 25%, then that's going to mean that they've got even less money to buy all of the essentials, and it's going to make them more impoverished. So it's starting to become catch-22 from Pakistan's point of view. They need the money, but they can't satisfy the requirements to get the money. If they do satisfy the requirements, things are going to get worse. So long term, the Pakistan government is reluctant to agree to all of these terms and conditions. But if they don't, they can't get the money. So the alternative that they're looking at right now is that they're talking to both China and Saudi Arabia, both of whom they have long-standing relationships with. So over the last 10 years or so, China has been spending money all across the world on what's called its Belt and Road Initiative. So it's been building infrastructure in a variety of different countries. And Pakistan has been the biggest single recipient of Belt and Road Initiative cash over that period. There have been a variety of projects started, including roads, power station, development of ports, lots of different infrastructure spend. So it's likely that over the course of the next year or so, we will see China increasing its investment into Pakistan. Those discussions are going on right now. But the big question is, what will China want in exchange for that? If you've been following the channel, you'll know that a similar situation took place in Sri Lanka, where a port was developed in conjunction with China called Hambantota. Unfortunately, the Sri Lankan authorities were unable to keep up the debt repayments on that port, and as a result, China was given a 99-year lease. So essentially, China now owns a part of Sri Lanka. And that's caused a lot of concern amongst other nations, because theoretically, China could now set that up as a military base. They could put a lot of their military power into Sri Lanka, and it would then have a strategic vantage point if a military conflict did occur with a country such as India, which is located very close to Sri Lanka. So the concerns are that the closer that Pakistan gets to China, the more money it takes from China, the more China will have influence over the country and could potentially lead to something that everybody else becomes unhappy with. And the other country that Pakistan is currently in negotiations with is Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is one of the biggest exporters of oil to Pakistan. So it's one of its biggest customers. So the deals that are being discussed are either debt deals whereby Pakistan will take a lot of that oil on credit, or currency swaps will be put in place in the same way as we've seen happening with Turkey. They've done a lot of currency swaps with all of the Middle Eastern countries. So Pakistan is currently desperately trying to get some money in from somewhere to keep the lights on. So the two big questions over the course of the next few months are, firstly, will it be able to get that cash in quickly enough to keep the lights on, to keep electricity being generated, to keep all of the factories running, to keep the economy actually moving forward? And secondly, if it does manage to get that cash in, what will be the long-term cost for Pakistan? What deals will they ultimately have to agree to? How much infrastructure will they give away? And how much influence will countries such as China and Saudi Arabia have on Pakistan in the long term? Now, in terms of what's the impact of all of this on the global economy, well, as I've said before many times, the global economy is interconnected, and Pakistan is no exception. A lot of countries have trading relationships with Pakistan, whether it be buying some of the exports that Pakistan are actually sending all around the world, or actually selling things directly into Pakistan. So as Pakistan's economy goes into freefall, as they struggle to be able to pay people, what that means is that a lot more aid will need to be given. So not just the countries we've mentioned, but it's likely that other countries around the world will be giving financial aid. They may be providing services and goods for free or on credit. So therefore, less cash will be circulating around the economy. So all of those countries who do have trading relationships will see their income going down. That means that their GDP will be shrinking, and so their economy will also be going down. And so it does have a domino impact, and there is usually a multiplier effect. So for every dollar of aid that Pakistan is no longer paying for, that will have an impact of more than a dollar across the global economy. So overall, this is bad news for the global economy at a time when the global economy is teetering on the brink of a recession anyway. And Pakistan won't be the last country to get itself into a situation like this. Over the course of 2023, it's quite likely that we'll see a lot of countries getting to the point where they're either on the brink of default and have to negotiate some form of restructuring, or they actually do default and are unable to make their debt repayments. And as they fail to make those repayments, obviously all of the institutions and countries that are holding those bonds that have been giving debt to that country over the course of the last 20 years won't get paid, and therefore they'll be in a situation where they've got less cash, and so it goes on. So as I mentioned earlier, this is a live situation. This is very real. This is happening right now. So I'll keep you posted on what's going on in Pakistan over the course of the next month or so, because they will get to the stage where they won't be able to make their repayments unless China or Saudi Arabia advance them a large amount of money in a short space of time. So please keep watching the channel for updates on this and other stories. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.